Our scripture today is found in Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said amongst the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last week we talked about interruptions in life that can steal our peace, and we took home some sermon notes to help each of us focus on ways to gain peace in our lives. This week our focus is joy. In our scripture today, as we look particularly at verse 5, it says, "May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy." And I want to say to you this morning that I understand a lot of people are not feeling joy at this time of year. In America, we are stressed and worried about all kinds of problems. And the fact that Christmas is an interruption just adds to the problems. In Iran, a country that does not even celebrate Christmas, many people don't even know about Jesus. And in many places in Africa, they don't have food to eat, much less enough food to have a lovely Christmas dinner. It's difficult for many to feel the joy of the Lord. But if we think of the hardships of this life, and we think about planting seeds of the gospel, planting seeds of our time and our energy, our strength, our resources, then we have at least three options of what we can do with them. First, we can refuse to plant. We can cling to our hardships and to our lives as they are. We can be angry when someone steals that parking space that's ours at the mall. We can get mad at the person in front of us that's going too slowly. I got the finger a couple of times when I was in Atlanta this weekend. There was no joy there, I am telling you. Or we can plant something other than God in this season. We could choose shallow soil, the soil of distractions and of self-defeating behaviors, in the hopes that they will produce quick relief, maybe momentary happiness, which is fleeting. As Max Lucado states in his book, Because of Bethlehem, that we've been reading this season, he says, "We shop till we drop, drink till we can't think, and work until we can't stop." Our third choice is we can plant seeds of God and the gospel. We can surrender our hardships and our lives in faith, trusting that God can and will produce crops of joy and new life. Our special guests today, Catherine and Elliot Stotler, have chosen to plant seeds of joy, seeds of the gospel in South Africa. They live in a place where people have many hardships. Elliot and Catherine are going to share with you about the ministries they are doing there. And I think you will find that they are planting seeds that have produced great crops of joy.
Thank you, Tamlin. Thank you so much. And thank you, choir, for blessing us this morning. Your music was beautiful.
I'm Catherine Stotler, and I serve in the province of KwaZulu-Natal in South Africa with Elliot. And I spend my days in 7 different schools. I see about 600 children each week. Elliot and I wrote a curriculum from the creation story, and within that we include songs and games and story time, lots of craft projects, and science experiments when we can think of one that will keep the children engaged, learning more about themselves, about the world around them, and about the Lord. It is a great blessing to me to be able to work with these kids and these teachers and even get to know some of their parents as well. The area where we serve is rolling hills that goes down to a beautiful blue Indian Ocean. And the people that we serve are joyful. Tamlin asked us to talk about joy, and Elliot and I were talking about the difference between happiness and joy. And happiness is a good thing, but I think happiness can sometimes be so fleeting. But joy, now that's a different thing. Joy fills you up like when you take a deep, deep breath and hold it till you feel like you're going to burst. I think joy is more like that. Now, God really doesn't talk to me much when I'm awake. I think because I'm over busy doing this or that and distracted. But he frequently will speak to me in my dreams. And I woke up 2 days ago with these words, "Joy fills your soul." So I will ask you this Christmas season, find some joy, spread some joy, find joy in the Christ child, and enjoy your families in this beautiful time of year. And I will let Elliot tell you what he does.
Well, Catherine gets lots of hugs and kisses in her ministry, and I don't get near as many, but she tells me about them, so I feel like I'm a part of it. My ministry is more along the lines of economic empowerment. In the area that we're in, there's great poverty. And about 60% of the people are unemployed, not lacking formal employment. And so what we realized was that we have actually very industrious people, people who have skills, but they simply don't know how to convert their skill into a business. And so we started a small business program where we take entry-level entrepreneurs, give them business skills as well as character and life skills that come straight from Scripture, so that they can, one, have the confidence to begin a new business, but two, have the skills and the abilities they need to be successful. And when they're successful, not only do they benefit themselves, that we teach them to benefit how to benefit their family effectively, but also how to reach out to those in need within their community. And so that's really what the mission is. We also have a micro-loan program where they can take a small business loan. For example, somebody who knows how to sew but doesn't have a sewing machine can buy a used sewing machine, and then they pay back the loan over the continuing course of the time that we're with them. We've seen some exciting changes in people's lives, some exciting success stories. What we really enjoy is when they invite us to come to their home or their place of business because they're so happy to show something that they have succeeded in and have confidence and tell us about how that's made a difference in their life. The other area of ministry that we're involved in is a growing area. Tamlin spoke about the Vine Connection Training Center. We've just completed the facility in the rural area, and we're going to be focusing on educating and empowering local pastors and church leaders to be more effective in their kingdom work. Most of the pastors that we have in our area have very little formal training. Certainly none have been to seminary. Many have not graduated from high school, and some are not even fully literate. And so we want to just walk alongside of them, strengthen them, empower them, and encourage them to be more effective. We'll have courses in leadership development based on Scripture, courses obviously in theology, but also church practices and spiritual practices that we hope will increase their ability to witness for Jesus in their kingdom work. So we're excited about that. That really kicks off in this next year. That's kind of the cutting edge of where we are and where we'll be going with the ministry. We've been there for 6 years now in South Africa. We look forward to being there for a number of years into the future. But we've seen lots of examples of joy, and I wanted to share a couple of those with you to kind of give you an idea about how we began to understand what joy was all about. There's a young man named Lindiwe, and Lindiwe came to me at about age 25, and we were doing some computer classes in the rural area. Now, we recognized that most people didn't own computers. They would probably never use a computer. But we recognized that if we could show them that they could learn something that was new and different, many of them would gain confidence and they would feel more empowered. And Lindiwe came to three of those classes over about 2 years' time. And then I didn't see him for about a year in the community, and I wondered what was going on with him. Well, we were at our small town market about a year after those classes ended. And he comes running across the market to me, and you could tell he was excited about something. But there was something different I noticed about him, and that was that he had a name tag, and he had a uniform on for the market where we had seen them. Well, Lindiwe, I thought to myself, I've never seen you here before. And when he got to me, I said, now, I've not seen you here before. He said, oh, I'm a brand new worker here. I've just started working. And I said, well, Lindiwe, had you been working somewhere else? I don't remember you talking about your work. And he said, no, I had never had a job before. And I said, well, had you tried to look for jobs before? He said, no, I never had, because I didn't believe that I had anything of value that anyone would want. And so very sadly, I thought, well, Lindiwe, tell me about that. You're 25 years old. You now have work. And I see you're greatly excited about what you're doing. And he said, no, I simply did not know that God had a plan for my life. I didn't know that he had given me anything that I could use that would benefit somebody else and therefore give me employment. But when I took the computer class, I realized that, yes, he has given me something. He has a plan, and I need to go out and find out what that plan is. So he was expressing a joy in knowing that God had a plan for him and that God had already equipped him to do something that would be beneficial to the community. And every time we go to the market, we see Lindiwe. Again, he comes running across the market. I'm concerned he might get fired for spending so much time talking to the customers. But he's so excited. And every time we go to the market, we get excited because of what he is, not just what he has in his lifetime now, but his work and that type of thing, but the relationship that he now has with God and how that's changed the way he sees the world. The second person I want to introduce you to, his name is Jack and his wife Harriet. And Jack and Harriet may not sound like African names to you because they don't live in South Africa. They live right here in Georgia. And Jack and Harriet have been friends of ours for about 10 years. And they've been supporters of our ministry in terms of praying for us, encouraging us, and making financial gifts for about 8 years, the whole time that we've been there and even before we started. And Jack and Harriet are in their 90s. I think Jack is probably 95 and Harriet may be 93. And they're the kind of people that we've always kind of sought as wisdom. And we love to talk to them. We kind of just hear their story, and they just share nuggets of life lessons with us. And it's always blessed us significantly. But over the last couple of years, they've begun to have physical challenges. They had to go to nursing care, and so that was quite a struggle for them financially to be able to afford and continue what they were doing. But they're the kind of people that Tamlin was talking about who've made a decision in life that they're not going to focus on those challenges. They're going to focus on joy. And they find joy in each and every day that they live. And so as we were seeing them just about 2 or 3 days ago, once again we told them, and we've done this 2 or 3 years in a row, said, you know, I understand you're having some financial difficulties. We want you to know that if you ever need to stop providing support for the ministry that we're involved in, we will fully understand. And in fact, please, save that money and use that for your own needs. And Jack looked at us and he said with a smile on his face, no, I must do this. This is important. And because I would like to be going where you're going, but I can't. But I can go with you in the work that you're doing and encourage you and pray for you and help make the ministry possible. And so what he was actually saying, I think, while he was trying to talk to me and make it personal for us, I think what Jack was saying was, and he and Harriet, was that God is doing something in South Africa, and they want to walk alongside of God. They want to be a part of what God is doing. And to allow them to participate, to them, was a joyful opportunity. So they weren't looking at the challenges they had in life. Instead, they took those challenges and focused their eyes on something far more meaningful. Now, the third person I want to tell you about is a missionary named Elliot. And you've just met him. And I find joy in the ministry that we do each and every day. I've told some people before that each and every day is a new day in the mission field. I think that when I get to the point where I feel like I know what I'm doing will be the day I need to come home. Because every day is something we learn that's new. And that's exciting to be able to be a learner and learn from other people about their culture, about how they see joy, and how we can change and be transformed ourselves. But along the way, what I really enjoy doing is just seeing where God is at work. You can see that here in Chatsworth. You can see it in South Africa. Sometimes we have to slow down just a little bit. Sometimes we have to open our eyes and see things differently, maybe try to see them the way God sees them. But God's at work everywhere. And we can find joy simply seeing where God is transforming lives, whether they're right here in your hometown or whether 8,000 miles away in South Africa. God is busy at work, and if we see where He is busy at work, we'll find joy in that. Now, there is one thing that all three of these have in common. You'll notice that none of them are possible if you're separated from God. All three of those things are only possible through your relationship with God. In fact, the joy itself comes from being in alignment with God's plan for your life and walking with God each and every step of the way. Because that's really where that deep breath comes from. That's the Holy Spirit filling your body, your mind, and your soul with those things that are of God. And that's what we should be looking for at this time, especially at this time of year, where He has made very real the evidence of His love for us through the gift of the Christ child. Thank you for having us today, and we just thank you for your prayers and your support of this church, and we will certainly make the good use of the gift here, and we just appreciate being a part of this family. Thank you.
Excuse me. I wanted to let you know that Elliot and Catherine have left us some prayer cards. I value mine. When I pray for them, I'm a visual person, so it helps me to be able to look at their faces and see them as I pray for them. They are in the gathering room and in the foyer here, so please pick one up. And just take it with you and pray for them. Because that is a great, great gift. I know that amazing miracles happen through prayer. And they also have a wonderful newsletter. I can get mine on email, but it's black and white. These are color photos, and they're lovely. So please pick up one of those as well if you would like to read about the latest things that are going on in South Africa with their ministry. Now we're going to bless them, and we're also going to bless some folks in Gatlinburg that had great losses during the fire. If you have not placed your gift yet under the Christmas tree, would you please bring your gifts to place under the tree at this time?